To say that there's something special for Israel does not subtract one whit from the fact that the church is a special people of God. That doesn't mean, you know, that each is not significant in its own way. It is not in any way inconsistent with, in my judgment, with the fact that Israel is also a very special people of God.
Proclaiming Jesus as Messiah. This is the Messianic Voice, the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis, an evangelical faith missionary organization helping to spread God's love to the Jewish people throughout the Midwest and beyond. Our goal is to help provide you with the tools you'll need to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors. I want to remind you to stay with us through the end of today's broadcast for information on how to receive some free resource material that we'd like to make available to you. But right now, let's join Marty Zeid here on The Messianic Voice.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to The Messianic Voice program, which is coming to you from our headquarters here in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm so glad you've joined us. One of the reasons why we are on the air is to help you understand the people of Israel better, what the Word of God has to say concerning the plan that He has. And we have a guest speaker that we invited in a while back, and he is doing that very thing. He is taking a look at what the Word of God has to say concerning the past, the present, and the future of Israel, prophetically speaking. And it's Dr. David Larson, and he's just doing a wonderful, wonderful job. Currently, he is dealing with some of the present prophecies of Israel, and he's just simply given us all kinds of verses showing us how God's hand was there, and sovereignly speaking, from a historical perspective, just in history, how he was there for the formation of the state of Israel. Just wonderful, exciting truths that he's giving to us. I would ask you now, if you would, grab a piece of paper and a pencil, because at the end of the program, I'm going to give you our address, and you'll be able to write to us and ask for all of the messages that we have from Dr. David Larson. There will be six in this series dealing with the past, the present, and the future of Israel. Heart-stirring, just wonderful, wonderful truths taken right from the Word of God, especially the book of Jeremiah. So I hope that you will listen carefully, and if you have your piece of paper and a pencil, you may want to take some notes as well, because some of the things that he's giving to us are very, very interesting. So here is Dr. David Larson.
I can remember one time when we go to Israel, sometime I'll get for our group an Israeli guide, then I see certain things. Sometimes I get an Arab guide, then I see other things. Well, one time I had an Israeli guide. He had been in the Palmach, the strategic military pincer group of the Israeli Defense Force. A very interesting man. We stopped one day at a place. He said, "Do you see here? There is a marker. One of the great heroes of this nation. He wasn't even a Jew. His name, Ord Wingate. He taught us to defend ourselves. How to meet the militant Arabs when they came by night to cut our throats." He was a Christian man. By the way, because of his Christianity, he fell out of favor. He was forbidden to serve in Palestine. He finally fought in the Burmese campaign and died mysteriously the battle we call the Chindits in Burma. But they survived, but there were not many. There were little handfuls at the Rishon LeZion, early settlements, agricultural settlements. Some Jews would come down from Odessa in Russia. But my friend, the Second World War. Now you see, here again, the wrath of man praises God. Second World War. What happened? The terrible decimation and destruction of European Jewry. But those who survived, where would they go? The hundreds of thousands of refugees in camps. Some of them incarcerated for several years after the war was over. They were still in camps. It has to be Israel. You see, then came the post-war population move. But the British opposed it. The Americans opposed it. I mean, there was bloodshed. You remember that some of those ships were sunk right off the coast of Palestine. Some of those ships, crammed with refugees, survivors of the death camps, were sent back. Sent back. Oh, it was a terrible. Some of you remember the book Exodus by Leon Uris. There's the book, you know, a secular book, but it describes how some of them, they were trying to swim to the land, and they took them and put them on Cyprus in concentration camps behind barbed wire. Oh, it was just unimaginable, you know. But then the British, oh, we can't handle it. No win. We give up. They turned it over to the United Nations. Now, folks, the disunited notions. I mean, I don't have a lot positive to say about the United Nations. I mean, it's a disappointment. But I tell you, there have been some moments. And 1947-48, early on, the United Nations High Commission to study Palestine. What are we going to do? They proposed partition of the land. The Arabs were so offended, they would not even participate in the discussion. My friends, they have had their chance. But again and again, they were so implacably angry, they wouldn't even talk. What chance did a vote in the United Nations have to divide that little land? Well, doesn't look like much of a chance. But the Soviet Union decided to favor it to get at Great Britain. They said, this will just rub salt in their wounds if we vote. The United States voted for it. There was no veto in the Security Council and in the General Assembly. Folks, a book that thick could be written about how that vote was overwhelmingly made. The Philippine Island delegate who opposed partition was called home for sickness in his family. And his replacement, the second ranking ambassador to the UN from the Philippine Islands, was a Christian Zionist and voted that Israel should have a home. Folks, That was voted. The Arabs abstained. Folks, so in May of 1948, the Star of David went up. For the first time since the days of the Maccabees, there was a sovereign Jewish state on this land. And what has taken place in the intervening years? The War of Independence. How did Israel ever survive? With all those Arabs against her, with declaration of war by the Arabs immediately upon independence, it's a miracle that they survived. The 1967 war, the Yom Kippur war, folks, how have they survived for all these years? Think of it. God has been doing something very special. They're not yet saved. The religious Orthodox basically run the country. They have tremendous problems. They have become an industrial and technological mecca. There is amazing prosperity, and yet there are massive problems. But God has preserved her. What does this text say? What an amazing word it is we have read in Jeremiah chapter 16. I cite them for you again. The days are coming when men will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt, but they will say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of the land of the north and out of all the countries where he had banished them, for I will restore them to the land I gave their forefathers. But the greatest and most glorious step has yet to be taken, and that will come in the tribulation period. Jeremiah chapter 30. We're talking now about Israel's future. How will this wind up? How will it come to climax? And a very, very important passage for us, Jeremiah chapter 30, starting at verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cries of fear are heard. Terror, not peace. Ask and see, can a man bear children? Then why do I see every strong man with his hands on his stomach, like a woman in labor? Every face turned deathly pale. You know this passage? This is quite a passage. How awful that day will be. None will be like it. It will be a time of trouble for Jacob. A very critical expression there. The time of Jacob's trouble. But he will be saved out of it. In that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will break the yoke off their necks and will tear off their bonds. No longer will foreigners enslave them. Instead, they will serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. So do not fear, O Jacob, my servant. Do not be dismayed, O Israel, declares the Lord. I will surely save you out of a distant place, your descendants from the land of their exile. Jacob will again have peace and security, and no one will make him afraid. I am with you and will save you, declares the Lord. Though I completely destroy all the nations among which I scatter you, I will not completely destroy you. I will discipline you, but only with justice. I will not let you go entirely unpunished. This is what the Lord says, your wound is incurable, your injury beyond healing. There is no one to plead your cause, no remedy for your sore, no healing for you. All your allies have forgotten you. They care nothing for you. Oh, it's a dreadful picture. Verse 17, but I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord, because you are called an outcast, Zion, for whom no one cares. I think there is a contrast here between a great suffering and a great salvation. And as I have indicated, the overarching and undergirding purpose which God has in Jesus Christ is salvation. And to all of the created intelligences of the universe, the Lord in the final sweep of world history is going to show his hand strong and his arm powerful in that he reaches this dear people in such a conspicuous and glorious way. and all the promises to them are fulfilled. Praise God, it's going to happen. Now, how's that going to happen? Well, the scenario, the sequencing of events, we won't all dot our I's and cross our T's just the same way. And I'll give you my opinion. It's like a mosaic, you know, and all these pieces you put together, it's beautiful. It's iridescent. It's so striking. And I'll give you my interpretation. And by the way, you see, as one who believes in the imminent return of Christ for his church, in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, you see, the church, which is the people of God in this age, from Pentecost to the rapture, the church which is Christ's body, the pearl of great price, for which he sold all that he had, that he might procure it. I mean, this is a very special people of God, the church. And to say that there's something special for Israel does not subtract one whit from the fact that the church is a special people of God. The fact that there are both cherubim and seraphim and who knows how many other kinds of him, that doesn't mean, you know, that each is not significant in its own way. And the idea that the church is the fullness of him who fills all in all, as Paul writes to the Ephesians. And a high view of the church, it is not in any way inconsistent with, in my judgment, or incongruous with the fact that Israel is also a very special people of God. And in my judgment, you know, everlasting land means that there will be Israel on earth, the new earth, and there will be the church, the heavenly people of God in the new heaven, you know. And there will be concourse between the two. I see the new heaven, the new Jerusalem descending like a bride prepared for her bridegroom as kind of like a gigantic space module in relationship to the earth. And the doors are open and they're back and forth, but heaven is our home. Always will be, but we'll be all over the universe. Don't tell me I can't take gospel teams out into every direction of the universe. I couldn't prove this from the Bible, but I think the earth was the only one in this infinitely expanding universe if we take Hubble's law seriously. I can't believe that there aren't a lot of created intelligences of all kinds all over the place. But there was one sheep that went astray. And God is going to show his variegated wisdom to principalities and powers throughout the whole universe. And I love to preach so much, this fits very nicely into my thought of part of the pastimes of glory. Just, you know, we Christians, you know, here on this little pea-sized planet swirling through space, we have a special interest. Angels love to look into our salvation. Just like the word used for John peering into the grave, you remember. He stayed outside, kind of being timid, and Peter was brash, and he ran right in. And then Peter peered. Well, that's angels peer into our salvation. What is it like to be one for whom Jesus Christ died? What is it like to be a sinner saved through the blood of the eternal Son of God? What is it like to be one in whom the Holy Spirit dwells? Well, I'll tell you, we shall be objects of interest and fascination through all eternity. And they're just going to come in droves to, let's go. It's going to be, who wants to be along? Well, anyway, the church is going to be taken. Look, before the outbreak of hostilities, ambassadors are recalled. And the Israel train is not going to get out on the main line again until the church is off the main line, in my estimation. And the imminent return, he's going to come and take his bride, and we're going to go home to glory, where we'll come before the Bema, the great white, the judgment seat of Christ is what we're going to appear before. We'll have the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then the bell's going to ring, and the Lord says, 7 years, we're going down together. And the Lord is going to descend with this great entourage of the saints of God and the angels, and we're going to come down, and he's going to end a time-space history, the Battle of Armageddon, come to the Mount of Olives and set up his kingdom and rule for 1,000 years, and we're all going to be there. And if you're anywhere near me, look, pinch me. When we're coming down, and you'll say, Sade, do you remember that Saturday morning at IFCA conference? And I just mumbled and stumbled, try to communicate. What what a marvelous thing to belong to Christ and to come down and to rule with him. I didn't do a very good job. While you say, don't fret now, this is it. Amen. So the church is going to be taken. Now, as soon as the church is taken out of the world, the man of sin is revealed. That's my understanding of 2 Thessalonians 2. Don't go looking for the Antichrist. Look, futility. We're never going to see the Antichrist. He may be alive now, but we're not going to identify him. Because until that which hinders is removed, the Holy Spirit in his dispensational fullness as he indwells the church, until the church is gone, the Antichrist can't be revealed. Oh, I tell you, I want to go in the rapture. I don't want to be here on this earth. I don't want any of my children, my grandchildren. No. We need to all go. We need to all go. And I'm looking for that every day. I just say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'll tell you, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I am looking for the upper taker. I want not to go the earthly way. I want to go the sky way. That's how I'd like to go. If I never gave my business to an undertaker, it would be just fine with me. Now, I have nothing against the undertaking business. I have a lot of good friends. I officiated at hundreds and hundreds of funerals, but I'll tell you, that Antichrist is going to stride out on the stage of human history. Now, this seems very implausible to a lot of people, but I tell you, the world is in such a jam. Is any leadership able to handle the complex problems of spaceship Earth? We've got economic problems, ecological problems, moral problems, legal problems. We've got, oh my word. And out on the stage of human history strides Satan's masterpiece, the man of sin. See, the sin of man is going to climax in the man of sin. This is Satan's great facsimile of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Antichrist.
I sure hate to break right into that message, but our time is just about up. You've been listening to the Messianic Voice program, and our special guest speaker has been Dr. David Larson. If you've just joined us and this is the first message that you've heard, I'm glad to tell you that we have all of his messages recorded and available to you. I mentioned at the beginning of the program, if you would, to grab a piece of paper and a pencil, because I'm going to give you our address. And if you write to us, you could request a full set of the messages by Dr. David Larson. But if you would, please let us know if you want them on CD format or if you want them on cassette tape format. Simply write MMC, Post Office Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006, and we'll put all of those messages in the mail to you, all of those messages that are pertaining to Israel's past, present, and future. Again, it's MMC, Post Office Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. So again, if you would like a complete set of either CDs or cassette tapes, write to us and send us a donation of $15 and we'll get them to you. So you could request a set of CDs or cassette tapes that will contain all the messages that Dr. David Larson gave when he was here in St. Louis. And all you need to do is write us at MMC, Post Office Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. And please send us a donation of $15 and request either whether you want them on CDs or on cassette tapes. And as soon as we get your order, we'll be glad to send them out to you. You could also log on to our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. And on the website, you'll see all kinds of information that will help you and assist you in witnessing to your Jewish friends. Thank you for tuning in. And until next time, may God richly bless you.
The The Messianic Voice with Marty Zeid is the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis. Our goal is to proclaim Jesus as Messiah and Savior to everyone, but with special emphasis on God's chosen people. If you'd like to know how to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors, or understand better what God's Word says about Israel and the Jewish people, check out the resources we've made available at our website. Simply log on at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. You'll find books, videos, and audio material designed to assist in your evangelism efforts and your personal spiritual growth. Inquire about our evangelistic magazine featuring testimonies of Jewish believers. We offer home Bible studies, Jewish evangelism seminars, and free tracts that you may pass along to your Jewish friends. Again, you can visit us online at MidwestMessianicCenter.org or write to us at MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. And be sure to request a copy of Evangelistic Magazine. Once again, our mailing address, MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. You may also contact us by email through our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. We appreciate you spending this time with us today and invite you to join us again next time as we proclaim Jesus as Messiah on The Messianic Voice.